So Mark 2, starting in verse 23, says this. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" This is the word of God. Oh, you want to continue? Yeah, perfect. More word of God. Okay. So through verse 6? Okay, perfect. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Have a seat.
Good morning, church. Good morning, people. Good morning, sons and daughters of the Most High. Good morning, saints in the kingdom of Yahweh, if that's who you are. My name is Matthijs den Dekker. Matthijs actually means gift from God, so I'm the gift from God for you this morning. That's who I am. As has been mentioned, we're in a series. This is the start of the series. Next, it's about practices from the life of Jesus. Kuhn gave an introduction last week, and today we're going to look into the first one about Sabbath. And as you all might know, I preached on Sabbath 3 years ago, and you will remember. And if you're not, I was trying to find it online on YouTube so I could put a link up and you could watch it afterwards. To see how my previous message was. But then I realized it was December 19, and there was no pandemic, at least not yet here. Videos weren't recorded. It's not on YouTube. It's half an hour wisdom lost for future generations. But then this morning, at 10 past 6, I woke up and I realized there are audio recordings on the website. So if you want to hear my previous message, go to vineyardgroningen.com, to media. Look for the message, "Rest Will Save Your Life." And watch it. The message of today is Sabbath will set you free. So you can see I like big sweeping statements. Last time I talked about Sabbath and how it is good for your body, for your soul, as a point of rest. And I shared some of the symbolism and rituals that Jews practice in Sabbath, even up until this day. And me and my family try to practice as well during Sabbath. But today, I'm going to take a different approach. I want to talk about Sabbath as a clash of systems. It's largely based on this book by Walter Brueggemann, Sabbath as a Resistance. It's thin, so you can read it. And if the idea of a clash of systems sounds really abstract and your mind is already wandering, come back to the light, because this is about you. This is about your daily life, about your health, about your body, about your rest. This is about the choices you make. And we're going to talk about resistance. So this is about full-on Star Wars rebellion, Lord of the Rings, resisting evil, epic stuff. So we read the words of Jesus that he was teaching on the Sabbath, or responding to the Pharisees. And actually, Jesus was responding to the system in his times. And the context of Jesus was a Jew. So the context is basically Old Testament. Jesus was living in the Old Testament. And I'd like to call it the Hebrew Bible because Old Testament is very Christian appropriation of Jewish heritage. The context of Jesus was the Hebrew Bible. So before I take a look at the system that Jesus took on, I want to look at the context of the Ten Commandments and see what his systems they were challenging and they were resisting back in the days of the Hebrew Bible. And then after that, we get practical. So the Ten Commandments. The context of the Ten Commandments is the Exodus. The Ten Commandments were given twice, once in Exodus 20 and once in Deuteronomy 5, in the period between coming out of Egypt and entering the Promised Land. And you might have heard it saying that God took the Israelites out of slavery, but then he had to take the slavery out of the Israelites. They had a mindset of slavery, and God needed to deliver them and to take that mindset out of them because he is the God of anti-slavery, of freedom. So let's take a look at an example of the system that the Israelites were in Egypt. Can you go to the slide? It's Exodus 5, and it's the moment where Moses gets to Pharaoh. You know, he sings his song, "Let my people go," and Pharaoh responds by no. And this is what he says. And I made it too big for the slide on purpose to show you the unrest and the pressure and how it's uncomfortable. "Get back to work. You are stopping them from working. You are lazy. They need to make their quota. You will not get a straw for them. They have to get their own straw. Keep working. Get your own straw. Complete the work. Why haven't you met your quota? You're lazy. You must produce your full quota. You are not to reduce the number of bricks." And the last line says, the Israelites' overseers realized they were in trouble. This is the system of Egypt. This is the system of Pharaoh. Pharaoh is having them building cities, supply cities. So he's building them cities to store his stuff. This is a system of anxiety, of slavery, of greed, of relentlessness. Come on, come on, come on. Of dehumanization. And God takes them out of slavery, into the desert, up to the Promised Land, and he gives them a new system. And the core of the system is Sabbath. The Ten Commandments start with, "I am the Lord your God who took you out of slavery." And then it goes on to celebrate the Sabbath because you need to remember that you were slaves in Egypt. And on the brink of the borders of the Holy Land, God is giving them a new system, a system based on rest, a system based on humanity, a system based on taking care of each other. And basically, God is introducing a new economy right before they enter the Promised Land and get their own country. The system in the time of Jesus. Next slide. In every gospel, the first moment where we read that the Pharisees plot the killing of Jesus is right after he's healed someone on the Sabbath. And of course, the story is the same in the first three, so it's kind of obvious because they overlap. But even in John, it's very explicit because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath. They were plotting to kill him. And it's very ironic and actually kind of sad. The Sabbath, that was meant as a new system against anxiety, has been made into a system of itself, a system of oppression, of control, of rules and regulations, of pride, of guilt, of self-righteousness. And that's the system of the Pharisees. Actually, the Pharisees were kind of radical people, and they did a lot of cool things, but just for the sake of the argument, they're the Pharisees. Blame it on them. And then Jesus comes with his healings on the Sabbath, the man is made for Sabbath and Sabbath not for man. No, otherwise, sorry, Sabbath is made for man and man is not made for Sabbath. And what is lawful, to do good or to do evil? He is challenging the system by bringing on a new vision of humanity, because it's allowed to do good on Sabbath. And they just can't handle it. They just know what to do. The only thing they think about is, like, how can you get rid of this guy? How can we kill him? Because he's challenging our system that gives us all our self-righteousness, all our sense of pride and value. So the system of Egypt is about relentlessness, greed, anxiety, dehumanization. And the system of the Pharisees is about control, rules, regulations, guilt, self-righteousness. Does that not sound exactly like the systems we live in today, in society today? There is so much anxiety. You need to work. You need to perform. You need to study because you have to make something of your life. It's your life. It's your choices. If things are not going well, you must have done something wrong. You have to publish. You have to get quoted. You have to write papers with someone's name on it because he's your superior. You have to work on the weekends because you need to get a promotion. You have expectations from other people, from your family, from your parents, from society, from your teachers, from yourself. What are the systems in society and in your life today that you might need to resist? And how can Sabbath help? I want to talk about three practices that we find in the Bible surrounding Sabbath. And I said Sabbath will set you free. That's not entirely true. Practicing the Sabbath will set you free. Listening and hearing and reading and talking about it will not set you free, but practicing will set you on a path to freedom from the systems in your life. And I often talk about a lot of symbolism and rituals surrounding Sabbath today and in the time of Jesus. There's a lot of beautiful symbolism in the way Jews celebrate Sabbath. But when you look at the Hebrew Bible, when you look at what it says, there are actually three basic commandments that God gives for practicing Sabbath. The first one is to stop working. The second one is to seek the Lord. And the third one is to celebrate together. So let's take all three of them as a guideline for how you can celebrate Sabbath in your life today. Stop working. Stop working is a mind-blowing commandment if you just come out of slavery. If you've heard all your life, do not stop working, suddenly there's a God who says stop working. Just for one day, stop working. Sabbath means stop. The word Sabbath means stop. So how more clear can it be? Jesus stopped working on the Sabbath. I can't imagine he continued working as a carpenter because he needed to finish that one window or that one door before Monday. And Sabbath, in the sense of stop working, is resistance to anxiety. It's resistance to all the pressure on your shoulder. Because God says stop. This is a day of rest. This is a day to release stress, to let it go, to take rest. And why is that? Because God is creator and provider. I think on one of the previous slides, I showed the system of Yahweh against the system of Pharaoh and the system of the Pharisees. There's the system of Yahweh, which is about finding rest, practicing contentment, finding humility, slowing down, attention, freedom. It's about restoring your humanity to feel human again and not like you're some kind of rat in a rat race or hamster in a hamster maze. I don't know how your life feels, but to restore humanity and breathe and have some margin and attention in your life. Because that's what God's purpose of the Sabbath is. A few months ago, I spoke about do not worry because you can look at the birds and the flowers and I am your provider. That's Sabbath. That's letting go and trusting God. So what does not working look like in your life? It's about stop working. Pick a day. I think Sabbath is supposed to be on a Saturday. If you want to put it on a Sunday, it's fine by me. If you have a job that demands a lot of you on the weekend, put it on a Wednesday. But stop working. Pick a day for rest. And it's hard. It's hard to stop working. It's hard to take a day of rest if you're not used to it. If there's all this people behind you telling you to keep on going. It's hard to find rest and stop working if you sped through your week. Sabbath takes time to prepare. I love what Mr. Brueggemann said in his book. He said, those who celebrate Sabbath live all 7 days differently. Because you can't just rush through your week, crash on Saturday, and call it a Sabbath. There's one thing in our lives that's even more relentless than Pharaoh, and that's your smartphone. Turn it off. I dare you. Turn it off. If I feel like I need to be able to be reached or people need to be able to call me because, you know, there might always be an emergency with my parents or something, I turn off the data connection. People can call me, but I don't receive text messages or updates or anything. And it's so invading in our lives that to turn the thing off might actually give anxiety by itself when you do it for the first time. But it's so helpful and so restful. So I'd like to give you a few minutes of reflection on this topic. Just take a few minutes in silence to think for yourself about practical ways that stop working. What could stop working mean in your life? Pray about it, and I will come back to you in a few minutes. Just love how peaceful this is. Stop working. The second one is seek the Lord. As I said, rushing through your week and crashing on the couch is not a Sabbath. There are actually many things in our lives that promise rest, but don't give it. It's on being on your phone for social media. It's watching Netflix. You think it will be restful, but actually it drains you. And you feel even more tired. The Bible says, seek the Lord. And it's resistance to self-righteousness, to pride, to self-centeredness. If you feel like you're going like this through life, look up. Look up to the God who is creator and sustainer of life, to the God who commands rest in his Bible who commands celebrations. They're just feasts the Jews had to celebrate, whether they felt like it or not. That's God. Because God is your source and your focus. He's the one who gets to speak into your life about all the things we've been talking about. And when I said Sabbath will set you free, it's not actually very true. Because God will set you free. And Sabbath is meant for you to focus on God, to seek him and seek his face. On Sabbath, Jesus went to the synagogue, and he was a rabbi, so he got to teach. But he was seeking the Lord, and he was serving people, seeking the Lord. And as I said, we try to celebrate Sabbath on a Saturday. It always takes us by surprise, and I think that's one of the good things about Sabbath. Sometimes there are things in your life that just need to happen. There's a birthday or something that happens. Somehow people plan things on a Sabbath. I don't know why. But what I try to remember then, and what I try to have in my mind is, how do I make sure that given the circumstances of today, Sabbath is still Sabbath? How do I make sure that even if I'm having a busy party or I celebrate my daughter's wedding, my daughters are 4 and 7, my daughter's birthday, how do I make sure that even then I find rest and ways to seek the Lord? And usually it makes for better birthdays because you're more relaxed. So how do you find the Lord? How do you seek the Lord? Is it by walking? By listening to music? By going to church? By talking to people? By not going to church? By not listening to music? By having silence or sitting on the couch reading? Again, a few minutes of reflection for you around the question, what can seeking the Lord look like in your Sabbath? I'll come back to you in a few minutes. Practicing the Sabbath. First, stop working. Second, seek the Lord. Third, celebrate together. It's actually a commandment by God in the Hebrew Bible to his people to get together for celebration of the Sabbath. People, when you look at the Ten Commandments, it says you need to celebrate the Sabbath, you and your wife and your children and the servants and the foreigners and guests in your house, even your livestock, your animals, get to have a day of rest. It's meant as a community thing. When you're under pressure, when you're under anxiety, when you're in the rat race of life, you tend to look at other peoples as competitors. But we're all fellow human beings. And celebrating together, having a Sabbath, is gaining rest to find attention, to look to other people again and see them as human beings, as fellow human beings. It's a resistance to exclusivism. It's a resistance to dehumanization. It's a resistance to competition. That's why Jesus said Sabbath is for man and not man for Sabbath. It sounds like, oh, it's for me, I can do what I want, it's my day, you know, Sabbath is for me. No, Sabbath is for man. Sabbath is there to help you find humanity, to give humanity, restore humanity in other people. It's there to help us be human beings again under the watchful eye of God. Jesus said, what is right, what is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? And they didn't respond. And Jesus was so angry. He was angry and deeply distressed about their stubbornness. The answer is so obvious. Do good. And he did. And he healed them. And they were plotting to kill him. So do good on the Sabbath. Take time to connect to people. Your friends, your family, your children, your wife, your husband. Sorry, I'm a man. That's my focus. When I was preparing for the Sabbath, for the sermon, I actually got a bit uneasy myself because I realized my Sabbath is often more like crashing on the couch than having attention for other people. On Saturday morning, I would like to read the newspaper. It would be about my rest. How do I find rest after this week of work? And there was very little place for my family and my daughters. So that's something I take away from this sermon today. How can I make Sabbath? How can I prepare for Sabbath? So on a Saturday, there's room for my family and my children and my wife. How can you help people? How can you have attention for people? How can you do good on your Sabbath? And then there's a note. Here's down here that I don't understand. So I guess we have to pass on some wisdom after all. Celebrate together. What does it look like in your life? Again, a few minutes of reflection about how you can celebrate together on your Sabbath. Practicing Sabbath. One, stop working. Two, seek the Lord. Three, celebrate together. Now, before we move on to another time of reflection I'm going to give you, two things that Sabbath is not. Sabbath is not a new set of rules. It's not something to force yourself into. It's not something to turn into a system. System of anxiety or performing. Seeing people, look, I'm celebrating Sabbath, look at me. Might even be a warning to what we have made of the Sunday sometimes. And the way we get to church. We need to dress up and look proper. Sabbath is not a new set of rules. Sabbath is also not a magical formula. It's not a button you can press. Oh, I'm free on a Saturday. Yes, my life will be filled with riches and happiness. Sabbath is meant to set you on a path towards freedom by focusing on God, having Him speak into your life, looking at yourself and other people. And it can be a rough road to travel. You're not going to be there like in 1 week or 1 month or a year. It's a practice. It's called a practice because you need to practice. And every day, every time you celebrate Sabbath, there's something that's slightly more deeply ingrained in your life, and you carve out new ways in your thinking, in your heart, and in your living that will help you to focus on God more and hear His voice. But it's not a magical formula. I'm sorry. I've gave you 3 times of reflection to think about stop it, stop working, seeking the Lord, and celebrating together. Now, I'm supposed to end this with a practical thing, so that's what I'm going to do. I give you another moment of reflection, and I want you to pick one practical thing to do this week that will set you on a path towards celebrating Sabbath. You've thought about it 3 times. Talk to the Lord and just spend some time thinking, okay, what can I do? What can I implement this week, maybe today, tomorrow, as soon as possible? Put it in my agenda. Write it down. That helps me to celebrate Sabbath and make it a practice into my life. So a few minutes for that. And after that, when you've picked something, talk to your neighbor. Again, sorry, I'm an introvert. I don't like it either. But it helps to get it ingrained in your system. Talk to your neighbor and share about, like, okay, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Okay? Few minutes, and then I'll get back to you with a real closing. Yes, sorry to interrupt you. You can continue your conversation afterwards. I hope you'll find something to do, a practical resolution for your life to implement this week. And I said I don't like these interactions because I'm an introvert, but I have to say that this morning I talked to Edith and she prayed for me and it was a really good step. Thank you. As I said, I like epic stories. I like Star Wars, I like Lord of the Rings. I'm actually waiting for all the episodes of the Rings of Power to drop and then I'll take a 3 month of Amazon Prime and watch it. And we look at these stories and we cheer for our heroes and we see what they've done and we're touched by it because they're epic stories. Now, when you celebrate Sabbath, when you're sitting on your bum reading a book, when you're doing nothing, when you're on the couch talking to people, when it looks like you're like, what you're doing is completely boring, angels are cheering because you are doing an epic thing. You are resisting. You are doing nothing, and doing nothing has never been this epic. Because Sabbath will set you free. I'd like to take a moment to pray, and then we will continue worship. God, we thank you, and we worship you, that you are the God who commands rest. That you are the God of life, of freedom. The God of peace and joy. And we worship you. And we want to say to you that we long for what you want to give us. So I pray for us, everyone here today, that you will help us to find your Sabbath rest. To take the steps, to do the things, to carve out the path, to resist the systems, to find rest with you, and grow as a disciple of you, Jesus, by sitting at the feet of the rabbi, listen to what you say. I pray that you bless us, that you work with your Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank you for what you've given to us in your word. And we want to worship you. Amen.